Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Creativity, Bravado, and Natural Selection here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I think that's appropriate, but to tell you the truth, I'm not sure because I haven't read this yet.
You know what people love about our show? The preparation.
The preparation. But great. I could tell just from the first paragraph that it was something that I wanted to read. I'll read you the note. I listen to your show at work. I love your show. My husband gets Flying Magazine and showed me this story. Thought you would get a boost from this. From Val Stallius from St. Flaco, Florida. St. something, Florida. I don't know. You've heard of Rickenbacker and Lindbergh and Doolittle. But have you heard of Larry Walters? Probably not. Yet Walters was made of that special stuff that separates aviation legends from the common run of folk. In 1982, Walters, this is what got me, this next paragraph. In 1982, Walters, a truck driver by trade, bought a bunch of weather balloons. Some sources say 42, some 45. He filled them with helium and tied them to a lawn chair.
Were they packed in cosmoline?
When I got to this point, I said, this has got to be good. So he ties 45 weather balloons to a lawn chair. He provided himself with a two-way radio, a parachute, some jugs of water, and a rifle, and then cut his conveyance loose from the bumper of his car, which was anchoring it to the ground. Take a moment to imagine the thrill and terror of that ascent, transforming a man surrounded by the normal appurtenances of life, garden, house, sport utility,
terra firma,
into a speck floating in an infinite space. Had he rigged up some sort of seatbelt? Did the chair tip and wobble? Did he call out to the ant-like figures below? We don't know. It is clear, however, that he violated FARs. I don't know what that means. It's all caps. But just don't forget, this is in Flying
Federal
Magazine.
Federal Aviation Regulations.
I love it. By passing through the Los Angeles TCA, we don't know what that is either, without a transponder or a clearance. Two passing jetliners reported to controllers that they had seen a man with a gun seated on a deck chair at 11,000 feet. A helicopter went up to take a look. Walters had planned to descend.
I got it by shooting out one balloon.
You
at a
got
time.
It, man.
And what? The gun. I couldn't figure out the gun until
couldn't
now.
Couldn't figure out the gun either. Walters had planned to descend by shooting out the balloons with his gun, one at a time. He had deflated 10 of them this way when he accidentally dropped the gun. I told you this was going to be good.
And what were the first two words he uttered when he dropped the gun?
Where was I? When he accidentally dropped the gun. Wait, I can't read now. Evidently, 10 was enough. After being carried out to sea and back on the vagrant coastal breezes, he was snagged by power lines in Long Beach and led away in handcuffs. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's reported to have said, by way of explanation of his exploit, a man can't just sit around.
I guess not.
Walters subsequently fell on hard times, became bankrupt, and died by his own hand in 1993. But his memory survives as a model of those qualities of independence, vision, and disregard for common caution, without which aviation would never have come into being.
Exactly. I mean, what if the powers that were went and arrested the Wright brothers for doing something reckless?
Exactly.
Exactly. It takes vision.
He had deflated 10 of them when he accidentally dropped the gun.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us about your car or maybe an upcoming flight in a helium
balloon. In a lawn chair.
The number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chauncey Gardner, and I'm calling from Haley, Idaho.
Chauncey?
Yes.
What a wonderful name.
Thank you.
Doug Berman whispered in my headphones that you're the main character from Being There.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was born after the movie, though. I mean, before
the movie. Got it. So what's going on, Chauncey?
Okay, well, I have a 93 Saab automatic 900.
Yeah.
So it does this thing where, in the beginning, it did it like once a month maybe, and starting to do it with increasing frequency, which is every now and then when I start it, it seems to have, when I put it into drive, almost no power at all. Mm. And I can get it to move forward, but, you know, I kind of have to floor it, and it barely moves at all.
So you step on the gas, and what do you hear when you step on the gas?
Well, it doesn't make a really big noise. I hear the engine revving, but I barely creep forward. I used to live in San Francisco when it first happened, and I couldn't get up the hills.
Yeah, so you do hear the engine revving.
Yeah.
And does the engine revving sound exactly like it would sound if you had it in park and revved it?
Yeah, I think it does.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's bad for you, Chauncey.
Bad for me.
Oh, man.
Well, the thing is, if we turn it off and then turn it right back on, it usually is fine.
Yeah, sure.
So my husband thinks we should just keep on turning it off and turning it back on, but I think that it's happening more and more frequently. So.
You've done the obvious things, right?
Like what?
You haven't done anything.
No, well, I haven't done anything because, you know, we figured out that if you turn it off and turn it back on, you're fine for the next couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what's weird, too, I noticed? I think that, I don't know if this comes into play at all, but when you put it in reverse, it's fine.
And when you say you've done nothing, you haven't even checked to see if the fluid level is correct?
Oh, no, we have. We've taken it in for, you know, the oil changes, the fluid level checks, and I just haven't mentioned it because every time we go in and they find something new, it's just a huge can of worms. So
it's better not to know.
Oh, especially on a Saab.
Well, that's the thing, especially on a Saab.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to write on my little scrap paper here the amount of money I think it's going to cost to fix this. And my brother will write his number.
All right.
And we'll add them up and divide by two.
And tell me if you think it'll be worse if we just wait until we can't wait any longer.
It couldn't be worse than my number.
Doesn't matter.
Here's my number.
He's pretty close.
Okay.
My number was $3,500, and my brother's number is $2,500, which comes to a nice even $3,000.
Oh, my God. What is it?
Well, we don't know what it is, but that's what it's going to cost you, if that's what it is.
That's what it is, right.
We think it's your transmission. And I don't understand why shutting it off. I mean,
that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Make a lot of sense, and I think, quite frankly, that you're lying to us.
No, I'm not lying. And what about the thing that it works in reverse and not in drive?
That often happens. Transmissions will fail sometimes and not go forward, but they'll go backwards. Uh-huh.
Or vice versa, so to speak.
Yeah, and given your choice, you'd rather have the forward gears, obviously.
Right.
You could live without reverse.
And the fact that if you shut off the engine and start it again, and it'll just go normally.
Yeah.
Means that it might not cost you anything.
Yeah?
Just keep doing that.
It's not the kind of thing that's going to bust something bigger or something like
that. Oh, it couldn't get bigger than this. No,
And during this time, the check engine light has never come on or anything like that?
No.
No. I mean, I'm perplexed by your insistence that it will get fixed if you shut it off and restart it. I don't know. I'm obviously missing something.
But you know the penalty for perjury.
I do. I'm telling you the truth. I would. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it for six months.
Okay, and you don't want to change your testimony in any way. That's your story, and you're sticking with it. Because that's very strange behavior.
Uh-huh.
But, well, impossible. Impossible.
The fault could be in the computer, or it could be in the ignition.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, those are going to cost you $3,000, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Good luck, Chauncey. It's a pleasure to meet a whole movie.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jacob Stoller calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Jacob.
No last names, please.
Just Charlotte's good enough.
Charlotte's good enough. What's up, Jacob?
Okay, I got an Acura Integra. And I just had the timing belt replaced for the first time. It's at about 130,000 miles.
You lucky
devil, you.
Were taking
a big chance there, pal.
No one ever told me about these things.
Well, your owner's manual did, but who reads that?
Right. So everything seems to be okay, except...
Everybody else out there who's got a car of any kind, if you've got 60,000 miles on it, read your owner's manual, because you may not be as lucky as Jacob.
So go ahead.
Okay, well, it started to do a little whining noise whenever I accelerated. And then I noticed that the performance was a little bit off. It didn't quite have the same juice. And then the first time afterwards that I went to fill up the tank, I noticed that my gas mileage was a good bit lower. So I'm just wondering, did they mess up pretty badly when they installed it?
Well, let me speak from experience.
How many times have you done this?
This engine has two cams. And the timing belt goes from the crankshaft around the water pump, around one of the cam sprockets, around the other cam sprocket, and then it, you know, I don't know where it goes after that, around the idler.
It goes back.
Goes back.
It's a belt.
And it goes back home.
Yeah.
It's very easy, and I say this because I've done it. It's very easy to put that on so that one of the cams jumps a tooth or more. And if that happens, you will notice whining. You will notice
lack of power.
Lack of power and rough idle.
And bad mileage. Bad mileage.
Bad mileage. All of those.
So because what the
you haven't noticed any of those, have you?
What those cams are doing is they're determining when the valves open and close. And so if everything isn't aligned perfectly, half of the valves are going to open and close at the wrong time.
Excuse me, I have poppy seeds in my
in your shorts.
In my shoe. Well, there too. Berman and I had a bagel fight. Well, it wasn't a bagel fight. It was a bagel incident. I don't know what precipitated this.
I don't know what precipitated
it. But next thing I knew, I had poppy seeds down my shorts, and some of them found their way into my shoes. I'm sorry. I feel better now. I stood up. Where were we? Oh.
Yeah, half the valves are going to open and close at the wrong time, and you're going to get all those symptoms that you got.
And is it doing any damage?
Well, here's the risk. Either they put the belt on wrong to begin with, which is very easy to do, or I suspect more likely they didn't tension it correctly, and that caused it to jump. But in any case, you've got to fix it immediately, because if it jumps enough, it will bend the valves.
Okay.
So I would get it back to them ASAP and tell them, you have spoken to someone who has done this many times.
And speaks with some authority.
And by the way, did they change the water pump?
No.
They should do that too.
Okay.
They won't do it for free. They're going to charge you.
Right.
But they've got to take the timing belt off anyway to fix it and tell them while they're at it, throw a water pump in it.
Okay.
See you, Jacob.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello,
okay.
You're on CAR-TALK.
Wait, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep records here.
Oh, you're keeping score?
No. I'm going to get the average of the expense that we're predicting. So the first caller, we had $3,000. For Jacob.
Well, let's say $175 for a water pump.
Right. They shouldn't be charging him any labor.
No. So this is how we're going to stimulate the economy?
I don't know. I'm just curious to know by the end of the show how many dollars will have been spent.
So this is going to be the click and clack index?
This is it.
Okay, good enough. All right. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Holly from Minneapolis.
Hi, Holly.
See, and you sound like a Holly, don't you?
I am a Holly.
Yeah.
What's up, Holly?
Well, I have a 94 Nissan Pathfinder. It has about 146,000 miles on it. And there's two noises. The first noise has been around for about 3 or 4 months. And if I'm doing a U-turn or if I'm doing kind of just a sharp turn where I have to turn my wheel pretty far one way or the other.
Is that the noise?
It's actually more of a gonk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to give you.
Oh, okay.
I like the go.
Right.
Okay, good.
Next noise.
What's noise number?
Number two.
Number two is kind of, it sounds like, this has been the last month. So it sounds like, you know when little kids put playing cards in their bicycle wheels?
Yeah.
That kind of what it sounds like, except louder and only on the passenger side of my car.
Ah! Oh, how fortunate that you should have come up with noise number two.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Because
great.
I think what's making noise number two...
Yeah,
is
perfect.
Making noise number one.
Oh,
also.
Good.
And this is on the passenger side of the car?
That's where I hear the baseball card sound.
And how about the other sound? Where do you hear that?
It sounds like it's directly below me.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's just because it's loud and...
And scary.
Yes, it's very scary.
Good. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We might have one answer for both noises.
Excellent.
Yeah, we like to be neat.
And we have to conserve.
Right.
There's no
right.
sense having...
We can't squander two answers on you, Holly, because, you know...
You only paid for one, so why should... Just because you got two noises...
Yeah, but I could bring up your average.
You could.
That's true. No, I don't know that we want our average to be high.
Necessarily. No, right. In fact, I think we want it to be low.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I think we're going to have a $300 number here.
I think so, too, because I think
I'm going to put $300 down.
We're going to agree that you're ready to have a broken axle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think the right front axle is ready to break, and that's making all your noises.
When you say it's ready to break, does that mean it could break any second?
Yeah.
It may be broken as we speak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it could break any second. Yeah. And when it does break, the car won't move. It's not
a car,
but whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Monster.
House.
Yeah.
House.
Monster. The monster.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like the axle is crunching itself to death.
Okay.
And that's you need to go and get it looked at, because if it breaks, you're going to be stuck.
Right.
And it's going to sound pretty scary. If you think the sound you have now is scary, it'll sound much scarier when the thing breaks. So
okay,
get it in someplace.
Okay, great.
See you, Holly.
Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're up to $1,133 average so far.
Yeah, we can't do it that way, though.
No.
We're getting into trouble. The average of the averages is not an average.
Well,
you gotta be
right.
Very careful.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You got to be careful about that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just add them up and we'll come up with a total number. That's going to be a scary number. Okay, now before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, my brother's donut gauge only says a quarter full.
We'll be back in a minute.
Rattlesnake in the road.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere. This message comes from CARTALK and NPR sponsor Hemmerker Schlemmer, providing products that cleverly and effectively solve everyday problems, including how to find the perfect gift for those who have everything or profess to need nothing. Today, their lineup includes a jigsaw puzzle created from a reproduction of the New York Times that ran on the day you were born, or any other milestone date. Find this and other items at Hemmerker.com. Use code NPR20 to receive $20 off your order.
On the next episode of Louder Than a Riot, the 20-year fight to clear the name of former No Limit rapper, Mac Phipps.
Because me and my brother was close. The years that he lost, that's some of the best years of his life he done lost. For me, it just hurts.
Listen now to Louder Than a Riot, the new podcast from NPR Music.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And here is the answer to last week's puzzler.
What was the question?
I'm glad you asked.
It had to do with me.
Yeah, you go.
I called you.
Yeah, you go.
I needed to get towed.
Right.
Because my car broke down.
Right. And here it is. Many, many years ago,
I
received...
so smart to remember.
...a late-night phone
and
call.
And I'm proud of myself.
I received this late-night phone call from my brother, and I know it's one of two things. Either his wife threw him out, and he needs a place to sleep, or his car is broken down.
Or both.
It's his car. He says, I need help. Do you have a rope to tow with? I say, yeah, sure, I'll be right there. So I watched Ted Koppel, Tonight Show.
That's because you didn't ask me where I was. I had to call you three times.
I take a shower.
I'll be right there, he says, and he hangs up. I'm like, wait a minute, you don't know where I am.
I make a sandwich. And then finally, after the third phone call, I decide to head out and give him a hand. Anyway, I arrive with my car, tow rope in hand. He's asleep in the car, of course, snuggled up with one of his favorite raccoons. And he tells me what's wrong with his car, and I say, I can't tow you, you knucklehead. And he says, We only have a few blocks to go. I'll tow you. I say, huh?
Huh?
But he's right. What's wrong with this car? Don't forget, he's the one that broke down. And he's going to tow me back?
Yeah.
How could this be?
How could this be?
Well, what's wrong with his car? And the reason I can't tow him
this
with the
is so
rope.
So good.
It is so good.
It is. It really
and I
is.
Know I used it before. I never would have let a good one like this.
You never used this before.
Dougie,
never.
Dougie says no.
Absolutely we not. Can, you only, know my memory.
There are two people on the in the universe on whom we can rely. One is Dad.
Yeah.
And the other is Murray Priceler.
Exactly right. Call them up. Find
right?
out. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Murray may have it on tape. And I know Dad does because he's what? He's keeping 3M in business. Anyway, the reason he can tow me and I can't tow him is that his brakes have failed. And because I have a rope, if I tow him, when I stop, he's going to slam into me. But if rather he tows me, when he's going to when he needs to stop, he can signal me, and by my stepping on the brakes,
you stop me.
I will stop him as well. Pretty cute,
Shh,
huh?
That is very that's very good.
And our winner
I
this
mean, that qualifies as a superb puzzler.
I wouldn't get
because
away.
The answer is so obvious as soon as you hear it.
That you say, Mamma mia!
Mamma, porca miseria! Do we have a winner?
Yes. Who is our winner?
Oh, here it is. Ooh. Ooh, another name I can't pronounce. Marion Freywald from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And for having her correct answer chosen at random from among both of the right answers that we got this week, Marion is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that gift certificate, she can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs Collection or the collection of classics called The Hatchback of Notre Dame.
Which I strongly recommend.
I do,
way.
I do. But whichever you choose, hurry up because we have a boat payment due in about a week.
And if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Zoo from San Francisco.
What kind of name is Zoo?
Short for Zuleika.
Zuleika.
Yes.
Oh, that answers everything. What kind of a name is Zuleika?
It's actually Sanskrit. I mean, not that the...
Oh, it's Sanskrit.
Really?
Oh,
it's...
And it means beautiful to the beholder.
Really?
Oh, how sweet.
And I'm sure you are.
Wow.
Zuleika.
Yeah.
Yeah, are there any... I mean, are all given names in Sanskrit like that?
They
I
have
mean, is, are there any that say, like, ugly as a garbage truck?
I don't think they had garbage pails in those times.
Anyway, Zoo, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a 1994 Mazda Miata, and it has an intermittent problem.
Uh-huh.
You're driving down the highway, and it feels as if it suddenly begins to lose power, as if there isn't enough gas getting to the engine. So I can take my foot off the pedal and tap or kind of stomp on it, mm-hmm. and then it will kick back in. We took it in to have a diagnostic. The mechanic said they couldn't make it miss. And my husband has changed the plugs and the wires, but not the fuel filter, the pump, or the pump relay.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dealership, they said that they had never had to replace fuel pumps.
Yeah, we've never replaced a fuel pump on a Miata, ever.
Right.
But have we ever worked on a Miata?
Does this happen only after sustained highway driving?
It certainly doesn't happen when you first start, and it seems to happen at least kind of 15 minutes into driving. It happens more often after a sustained period of driving, but it can also happen like yesterday, 15 minutes into city traffic, and then it started happening.
And let me get this right. If you try to drive normally, it won't respond, but if you floor it, it's okay.
Well, you don't floor it, you just kind of tap it or stomp on it, and it kicks back in again, and then it dogs out again.
Ah, okay. I've got it.
Really?
Mm. And I'm surprised. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have it. But
well,
I'm going to make up an answer.
Go ahead. I'll be the arbiter of bogusity. You know what bogus means?
What the definition of bogus?
Well, no, the origin of the word.
Well, I'm going to guess that bogey comes from it.
I don't think so.
No?
Well, I don't...
Double bogey?
I don't really know the origin of the word.
Humphrey Bogart.
But it comes from a bogus, which is a thing. I don't know what the source of it is, but the thing is a machine for making counterfeit money.
Really?
It's called a bogus.
Really?
From which, I guess, the money now became bogus money. And then,
right. Oh, and
then
bogus
from that it went to your answers.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give it the bogus rating.
We have a 1 to 10 on the bogosity scale. Bogosity scale.
Bogosity scale.
Well, I think it is your throttle position switch.
Wow. Okay.
I like that.
Now, bear in mind, I'm not sure you have one.
But had you had one?
Well, I think it does. And the throttle position switch is basically a variable resistor, which sends a signal to the computer to tell it where your foot is on the gas pedal, or in fact, how far the throttle is open. Mm-hmm. So it can tell it if the throttle is completely closed or if it's completely open or any place in the middle. And the fact that you can tap the pedal tells me that somehow or another jarring the throttle cable is making the switch move. So what they've got to do is test the throttle position switch.
Okay.
Again, I'm not positive you have one.
Oh.
But I think you do.
Okay.
Good luck, Zoo.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Well, how expensive? I have to have a number here.
Oh, I'm guessing.
Couple hundred bucks, right?
Or less, yeah. But let's put 200 just to be in the safe side.
We'll put 50 bucks in there for the diagnosis.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. Do you happen to know what time it is now?
Time to blow the autumn leaves onto my neighbor's lawn?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dredge up a caller from a previous show. Dredge up.
Dredge is good.
And find out whether he or she is still mad at us. That's basically what we do.
So who's our lucky contestant this week, Johnny?
It's Mark from Oklahoma. You remember Mark? No.
No, but I can sing Oklahoma if you hum a few bars.
Mark called us several months ago because he was having a hard time keeping his Isuzu Trooper clean on the inside.
I'm getting this strange oozing discharge from under my dash that is constantly ending up on my shoes and my socks and my pants and all over the floor.
What color is it?
It's red.
Red?
Well, it looks red when it's on a sock.
What color is the sock, red?
When I first noticed it on the car mat, I thought, well, what is this? And I tried to wipe it up, and it was like molasses. I was like, what on earth?
Molasses. I like that.
Is it smelly?
Well, it almost smells like
it smells
green.
Like socks, right?
Smells like green socks.
It smells just like your feet.
So, did we just give him a hard time about his foot odor, or did we give him an answer?
I think we told him, I don't remember precisely, that the transmission oil was getting into the speedometer cable and traveling up the cable up to the back of the dashboard.
I think you did say that. Mm. All right, let's see how we did. Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true, Mark, old buddy?
That is correct.
Okay, and that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that case of odor eaters that we sent you.
That's exactly right.
So look, was it transmission oil coming up the speedo cable?
It certainly was. Yeah, I've got to tell you, I've got the Kramer of all mechanics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, of course, I take my truck in there, and I tell him, I've got this discharge coming out here, and he starts telling me, well, I think it's rust coming from your heater core, and I was like, look, now, I've talked to the guys on Car Talk, and all, when I said that, you should have seen his eyes light up.
Oh, really?
Yeah? You sure they were lighting up?
Well, he proceeded to go across the dash. Well, I think it might be your oil pressure gauge. And I kept telling him, it's the rubber seal on the speedometer cable. If you'll just replace that, everything will be fine. And he did go ahead and replace it, and sure enough, it quit spitting up on my leg there.
Well, that's great. So you can now wear something other than red socks.
Yes, I can.
That's great. And we haven't had a right answer on Stump the Chumps for about a month.
So we want to thank you, Mark, for being cooperative, and enjoy the case of odor readers that we sent you.
Yeah. Oh, I certainly will.
And those Omaha steaks that are coming frozen.
Yeah, the Omaha steaks. Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Mark.
Thanks for the advice, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or you can call, and you can stump us right now. The number's 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike calling from Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on in Bozeman?
My partner and I have a new-to-us 99 BMW 540i.
Uh-huh.
And we were driving down the interstate a while back, and for the heck of it, we were timing ourselves between mile markers.
Yeah.
And we determined, after lots of scientific analysis and a few arguments, that
I know what you're going to say. That the speedometer is off.
It's off exactly by 5.4%.
So it's telling you you're going 5.4% faster than you're really going.
Yes, sir.
That's been my observation, too, although I haven't done it scientifically or as scientifically as you and your partner did.
Well, he's a mechanical engineer, and I'm a laboratory supervisor, so between the two of us, we just analyzed this to death.
Yeah.
I commented that my previous car, a 99 Honda Accord, had been off by about the same amount. And he said that his 94 Jeep Cherokee and his big brother's 96 Mazda were off by about the same amount.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to slow down you Montanans. I think those mile marker things are closer to each other than a mile.
So I want to know, I got a couple of questions. One is what you ask, is this a conspiracy to make us drive 5.4% slower? Or, well, does this affect the odometer and make it read 5.4% too high, which would make us think we were getting better gas mileage and or make us trade in the car sooner?
Oh, boy, this is a real conspiracy theory.
Ooh. Well, yeah.
The answer is yes, it will do that.
Well, okay. Oh. And is there a way to fix it?
Oh, I can see the movie now.
Yeah.
I can see Oliver Stone, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bozeman conundrum. Well, I think all those things are at work. I think they're trying to make you think you're going faster than you are, and yet you're piling up miles, presumably faster than you really are.
How far are you from another state?
About 100 miles from Idaho.
Try it. Go to Idaho and do the same thing.
Well, you could, by the way, if you're really scientific, you could lay out your own mile markers.
Oh, so you're thinking the mile markers are...
They could be. You have to find out first if they're wrong. So
well, you're right.
So you're faulting BMW and Honda and all these other guys. But
they might not be it.
Yeah. You may have some guys putting the mile markers. I mean, I don't imagine that they assign that job to the brightest guys on the Department of Public Works payroll, right? I mean, they must say, look at...
They may.
They may?
They may.
I don't think so. They say,
and
guys,
that might be the best they've got. I mean, what are the other guys doing? They're painting signs.
Well, they're painting lines on the road. Yeah, the fumes are getting them. Maybe these are the line painters. The fumes got to them, and then they got reassigned to putting the mile marker things up.
Well, to be scientifically valid, we'd have to go to several states and do this over a long period of time, many measurements.
Well,
I wonder if we can get a federal grant to do this.
Well, I think you need a grant, exactly. I think... I'm sure there's some federal grant money available for this, but you could, if you really wanted to, you could lay out your own mile markers.
How?
Well, by getting up a piece of string.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that could be done easily.
Right, and just keep measure. Just put one in the ground and then measure 5,280 feet.
That's hard.
Hey, that's how Columbus did it.
Well, I mean, you could do it.
Yeah, you could do it with a big long string.
Well, or
short
string a whole bunch of times.
You know what's going to happen? One of you is going to get run over doing this. Hit by a semi. What happened to Mike? You're not going to believe it.
Now, if we do this, do you want me to call you back?
Of course. Are you kidding me? Call us back. We're going to visit your website.
Okay.
But I've always felt that high-performance cars have cheated a little bit on the speed. They always make you think you're going faster than you're going. But that's just a feel. I have no basis in fact for this, although I have checked a few casually with the mile markers and felt that they were off, but never as scientifically to go to a decimal point.
Oh, that's a great psychological theory, because this is a car that'll blow your hair back sitting still. So.
That's right. And,
I know.
And if you think it's going blowing it back even farther, then you might buy another one when the time comes. Mike, I think you got to get right on this. Hang up. Don't tell anyone about it. It's just our little secret.
All right.
Apply for the grant.
Well, we need to go to Utah and visit the relatives, so that'll let us go through Idaho and Utah.
That's it. That's it.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Okay, I've had enough. I think we should take a break.
If you've had enough, then you know that both of our listeners bailed out at least 10, 15 minutes ago.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Bye-bye, I don't know what you're thinking. Still driving that hot, bright Lincoln. You tell me telephone poles look like a picket fence. Now gas is $4 a gallon. It don't make no sense. When you sideswipe that caddy, you got away with murder. Now that car's an antique and you don't want to hurt. You shouldn't drive with smoke and flames coming out of the side. You're an old man now, you need a slower ride.
And even though Malyazis everywhere decide it's time to prune the family tree whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Voting is crucial, and I don't give a damn how you look at it.
Is this a man?
The man of the people.
Not we, the white male citizens.
Misrepresentative Democracy.
A new series about voting in America from NPR's Throughline.
Listen now.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, I don't know what I want to call it.
Semi-automotive, quasi-automotive, non-automotive?
Non-semi-quasi, yeah.
Yeah.
The new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Here it is. In the little Asian country of Tuvaniska. You know Tuvaniska?
Of course. There very, very many times.
That's where Richard Feynman went to collect stamps.
Yeah.
I think. It just so happens that there are two towns a few miles apart on either side of the mountain. And we'll call these towns Abba and Bubba.
So Abba is on one side. They're only a few miles apart, but the mountain's in between.
There you go.
I got it.
Okay.
Mountain, and, Abba, I'm drawing a picture, and Bubba.
Okay. And the preferred footwear in this region is the combat boot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do we need a pencil for this?
You need
a,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, we're back. Get a pencil.
Get a pencil, yeah.
So the first town is Abba, and the other town is Bubba. There are 20,000 people who live in Abba.
Yeah.
Okay. And 1% of them,
mm-hmm.
okay, has one foot only, and as such, they wear what? One boot.
Mm, on the other foot.
On the foot.
On the foot, yeah.
The remaining people in the town, half of them, wear no boots at all. They go barefoot.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Got it, okay.
And the rest of the people wear two boots. Like you do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you can go figure out how many boots there are in Abba.
I can do
you
that.
You can do that.
I would be able to do
okay,
that.
Okay, now let's go to Bubba.
Bubba.
Okay.
How many people live there?
That's what you're going to tell me.
Ah, that's X. X.
In Bubba, 20% of the people have one foot. We don't know what happened. It was a mining accident. Of the remaining people, half of them wear no boots.
Yeah.
And half of them wear boots.
Two boots.
There are 20,000 boots worn in Bubba.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
What's the population of Bubba?
That's a fascinating puzzler. Well, let's just summarize it again.
Okay.
20,000 people live in Abba. Let me see if I got it. 1% of them have only one foot.
That's right.
And they wear a boot on that foot.
You would think so. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Of the remaining people,
half of the remaining people wear no boots.
They wear no boots, and the other half wear two boots.
There you go.
And in Bubba, we don't know how many people live there. X people live there. But 20% of them, due to that industrial accident, have only one foot. half of the remaining people wear no boots and the other half wear two boots. And in that, and in Bubba, there are 20,000 boots altogether.
That's right.
What is the population of Bubba?
Not Bubba. Bubba.
Bubba. I thought right. It was Bubba. Oh, Bubba.
Bubba.
As in Alibaba.
Yeah. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or carve it into a 60-foot flowering stewartia. Japanese stewartia.
Oh, okay, if that's what you
with
want.
Nicely exfoliating bark. And ship it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. By the way, I should add, mm-hmm. Not only what is the population of Bubba, but why?
Why?
Yeah. Also, you can call us and ask us questions about anything at all, even your car. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Maybe it should be anything talk.
Could be.
We could do that.
Hello.
You said, even your car, you said.
Even your car.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on anything talk.
Hey, guys.
What do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well, yeah, anything. This is Lee down in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Lee?
Right.
Where are you again?
Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Natchitoches.
It's pronounced K-N-A-C-K-A-D-I-S-H.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. I wrote dish down there.
Yeah, Natchitoches.
What's up, Lee?
Guys, I got a 1994 Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it new. In 94, got 103,000 miles on it, and it kicks and bucks on me occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms are, it's like you'd be going down the road, and all of a sudden, it's like you tap the brake, and that's the buck, and then it'll kick back up like, you know, it's grabbed another gear or something, and then it'll settle down, and it may not do it again for a long time, and then it may do it again for the next 5 miles.
I don't get it yet. You're driving along, say, 35, 40 miles an hour?
It could be 35, it could be 25, it could be
okay.
85.
And you touch the brake pedal.
No, it feels like you touch the brake pedal.
It feels like you touch the brake pedal. It just out of the blue, it suddenly feels
right.
It's almost like stopping and then it picks up again.
Right. Now, this happened about 3 years ago when I took it in and they said it was the whoop tube.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
And I said, well, what in the world is the whoop tube?
I would have said that.
It's this big tube that goes behind the fuel injectors down into the transmission, and they replaced it. And it ran great, and it just started back, about 6-7 months ago.
Really? So it
and
ran
so I
great?
I wondered if y'all had ever heard of that.
A whoop tube?
A whoop, that's what he called it.
Well, I never heard of a whoop tube.
Well, I just wanted to get another opinion.
Well, you got one.
If y'all never heard of it.
No. So did this guy give you a whoop tube, huh?
He said it ran from where to where?
It runs from the back of the fuel injectors. It kind of hooks into the, with the breather system and then runs down into the front of the transmission. And it's about a 2-inch diameter tube. And it's kind of, it's bent a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The snake down between the firewall.
So you've seen this thing?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's about 2.5 feet long.
Was it broken?
Yeah, it had a hole in it.
It had a hole in it?
Mm-hmm.
That would explain everything. Well, I wish I could help you. I mean, I never heard of a whoop tube, and I can't even imagine what this thing is.
Well, have you heard of any other reason why the transmission would kick and butt like that?
There is a snorkel that conveys fresh air from the air cleaner into the intake manifold. And
maybe that's what it is.
And
maybe that's what they're calling the whoop tube.
Well,
whoop.
You know, there's some funny things to go on down there in Louisiana.
Wow.
So it could be that in fact, is what had a hole in it. And that can cause the thing to momentarily lose power and to misbehave on acceleration.
Uh-huh.
But there's no connection between the engine and the transmission
now,
with this whoop tube.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have somebody. You need to have the whoop tube removed and see if, in fact, it's got a hole in it like it did the last time.
I mean, is that guy Is that guy still around? The guy?
Oh yeah. He's got a shop over here.
Well, jeez,
I mean, it's only like $125.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with it. I mean, I know it's nice to get a second opinion, but you ain't gonna get one from us.
And you spent half of that on the phone call.
No, this is your nickel, guy.
Oh, is it? Oh, jeez. All right. Well, see you, Lee.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Laura from Erie, Pennsylvania. How you guys doing?
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Boy, you sound pretty cheery.
Well, nobody wants to listen to you complain.
No? Well,
no, that's for sure.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, well, you're chipper now because it hasn't snowed yet, Neary.
But you got to get ready because it's coming.
Yeah.
The snow's going to fall.
And I'm going to embrace winter.
Well, so am I.
By going south.
Oh. No, I love the winters here. It's beautiful.
I hate them. But that's okay. I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to start complaining for a long time.
No, because nobody wants to listen to
Nobody wants to listen.
Yeah, except his wife has to. Anyway, Laurie, what's going on?
Okay, I've got a Toyota Camry, and it's got 80,000 miles on it, and I love it.
Good.
It survived a fire. It's got a few dents and scratches because a ladder fell on it, but it's never given me a day's problem.
How did you feel the day? Did you drop the ladder on it?
It fell off the wall in my garage and landed on the car.
So nobody was actually standing there saying, oh, jeez, how did I do that?
No, I heard the crash and ran out there to see the ladder on top of the...
Oh, so you had the ladder held up by some kind of brackets?
Exactly.
And the brackets gave?
Exactly. They pulled right out of the wall.
Oh, they pulled out. So you couldn't even sue the bracket maker.
No.
All right, yeah. So you love the Camry.
I love the Camry, but here's the situation.
Yeah.
I have a new puppy. She's a four-month-old chocolate lab.
Mm-hmm.
And the Camry seating isn't quite good enough for her. You know, there isn't enough room for her to stretch out.
In the back?
Well, she doesn't really like the back. She likes to be up front with me. But I do try to put her in the back seat. But see, then we go to the beach, and there's sand and water, and then the back seat gets all dirty.
What,
and
you have a beach?
Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Lake Erie's beautiful.
It is a great lake, we know. All right, so you're worried. Well, you know, first of all, the dog should be in the back seat.
Right, well, for safety reasons,
and,
I know.
And the dog should be in a seatbelt, believe it or not. And here's the reason. You're not worried about the dog so much, but the dog becomes a deadly missile.
Right.
If you have an accident.
Right.
And imagine when Coco, is that her name?
Lily.
Lily is full grown and she's 87 pounds.
Right, and she's going to be a big girl.
And she comes flying at you when you've rear-ended somebody on the interstate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got to get used to sitting there. I mean, you have to wear a seatbelt. She has to wear one, too.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. So I want to get a bigger car. I want another vehicle.
The Camry's gone. We've accepted that.
But I've been looking at these SUVs, and I've looked at some of the smaller ones. And they're just not nearly as nice as the Camry.
No, they're not.
So what should I be looking at?
I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish. Something that she can sit in the front seat of?
No. I'd like to move her to the back of a vehicle. You know, whether it be the back seat or like a trunk area.
Oh, a Subaru Forester would do it.
A way back.
Right.
A Subaru Forester, a Subaru Outback. A station wagon, like a Volvo station wagon?
A station wagon? A Volvo? What do you think? I'm loaded.
How about an old Volvo station wagon?
Yeah, used would be okay.
I mean, there are lots of vehicles that have a way back.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, it's kind of narrow.
Well, see, and do you know what I mean about the Camry? It's just so nice. There's lots of room. It rides beautifully. And you get in some of these, and I feel like I'm in a truck.
How about you throw a sheet of plywood on the back seat?
Well, I mean, just throw a blanket over it. This is not a reason to sell your car.
Well,
she's a dog.
Well, but eventually, I have 80,000 miles. I know I could probably get another 80.
You're just dying to get rid of this car, aren't you?
I know. I
love this car, and I can't wait to get rid of it.
All right, the Camry's history. You can just drive it into the river.
Drive it into the river. You hate the car anyway. You've been sick of it for a long time. I would have to go with a Volvo wagon.
Only
because it has more room in the way back than a lot of these mini SUVs.
Okay.
Which do have room in the back, but the dog is not going to be comfortable there.
Okay.
Because he or she doesn't have enough room to move around. She can't even turn around. She goes in facing left, and that's it.
Right. Well, the nice thing about putting the dog in the way back is that you don't have to put her in a harness.
Uh-huh.
Because if you crash, the back seat's going to stop her.
Exactly. Right.
But if I get rear-ended, what happens to poor Lily?
Oh, what do you want, everything?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
See, all these things now to consider.
You can't, no, you got to take a chance in life, Laurie. You can't worry about everything. Lily's going to be fine.
Okay.
If you get rear-ended, I'd worry about Laurie.
Right.
Yeah, Lily will be okay.
Yeah, she will be.
All right.
Yeah,
all
no,
right.
You can't. I mean, you could put a football helmet on her. But
I
would look at, I mean, you're going to figure she's not full grown yet.
No, only 4 months.
Yeah, so you're going to have to.
I don't do anything until she grows.
Okay.
So you get some sense of what 100 pounds looks like.
But look at the Forester and even the CRV. I mean, they both have a fair amount of room, and you can get one of those metal cages.
Right.
You know, that goes, not a cage, but it's a barrier that goes between the seats so she can't jump and go into the front.
Right.
And eat up more than 2 seats.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know she's going to do that.
Coco wouldn't do that.
Lily
wouldn't do that.
Lily. Well, Lily's a cute name, and I'm sure she's a wonderful dog, and they're great dogs.
Oh, I love her.
So you're going to have fun with her until she eats your car. That's another reason, by the way, for keeping the Camry. Do you want her to eat a brand-new Forester, or do you want her to eat a 7-year-old Camry?
She doesn't need anything. She's perfect.
Yeah, okay. See you, Laurie.
Thanks, you guys.
That's why you're not going to do anything for another 6 months.
All right, I'll wait a while.
Yeah.
Okay, good advice.
See you later.
Good luck,
Thanks,
Laura.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, wait a minute. We need to know the final tally.
Well, I just worked on it.
Yeah?
It comes out to about $4,300 on average.
Wait, 40? How do you come up with that?
Well, we had the 175, and we had 200 bucks for the brake job, and we had the new car for Laura, $22,000.
Okay. Well, never let it be said that we haven't helped stimulate the economy.
We have, man. We just plunked $4,200 on average. And the sum of all those numbers is like $40,000.
Pretty good, huh?
I mean, when you use the multiplier effect and the trickle-down theory, trickle-down your leg
theory. I can hit trickle right here. Well, it's happened again. You've depreciated another precious hour of your life listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine, Flau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the South Seychelles Spam Smoney and Spirulina Smorgasbord, is John Boxy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our drug trial specialist is Placebo Domingo. My puzzle assistant is Normally Bogus. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our curator of Dionne Warwick studies is Isaiah Little Prayer. Our Latin American bullfighting specialist is Gordon Diaz. Oh, no. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel
always tries to sneak one
from
in,
the
he?
Law firm of Dewey Cheatham Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the annoying sword swallowers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And above all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, want to ditch your old car before winter arrives and you find yourself stranded in a snowbank surrounded by hungry moose? Donate your old car to this station. You'll get a tax break and the station gets the proceeds. Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program. Details are at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Neanderthals, think back to the good old days, B.C., before Car Talk, whenever we say it, this is NPR.